And as you're seated, I want to encourage you, open up your Bibles to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua 23. Thank you to our worship team for leading us into a throne room, if you will, seeing God, being able to worship Him. You're familiar with the carrot and stick motivational approach to life? You've heard of that, carrot and the stick? Comes from a season where those who had carts would, that cart driver had that donkey, and he'd be trying to get someplace, and that donkey would not go there, and he would put out the carrot on the stick. Come on, donkey, go. And the donkey, for a season, might go. And then halfway through, maybe forgot or wasn't motivated anymore. And so the driver would pull back the carrot. He'd grab the stick. You know what? I'd like to illustrate. John, would you join me up here? And he would whack the donkey. So if the carrot's not working, maybe the stick would work. This morning's text in Joshua 23, as Joshua closes out this time, he knows his time has come. It's about 110 years old. Chapter 24, the last few verses tell us that. It's about 25 years have passed between chapter 22 and chapter 23. And it's his final speech as he gathers. In 23, the leaders of the nation, and we'll see next week, the people. And he looks to motivate them. He looks to remind them with the carrot. In the first few verses. And then says, but if you're not motivated, there's a stick that may motivate you. As I put this away, I'm reminded I may be eating this in about 4 days. Please check for nails before you boil the carrots, honey. I'd like to read chapter 23, and we come back, and I guess the question for you and I today in our walk, in our lives, are we motivated by the carrot or the stick? The love and kindness of God, or by the discipline of God, are the sad consequences of our poor choices and decisions to turn from Him and His way. Verse 1 of Joshua 23. A long time afterward, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and officers, and said to them, I am now old and well advanced in years. And you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. For it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. Behold, I have allotted to you as an inheritance for your tribes those nations that remain, along with all the nations that I have already cut off from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. The Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them out of your sight, and you shall possess their land just as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. And as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you puts to flight 1,000, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he promised you. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. For if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you and make marriages with them so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. But they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good ground that the Lord your God has given you. And now I am about to go the way of all the earth. And you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. But just as all the good things that the Lord your God promised you concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the evil things until he has destroyed you from off this good land that the Lord your God has given you. If you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land that he has given to you. If you turn to the back of your program this morning, you'll notice the title. You see what it says? Be very careful to do one thing while passing on the torch. I tend at times to have long titles, and that could scare you. Oh, no, long message. But I think when I have long titles, the message is actually shorter. Is that not true? Yeah, it's not. You're right. But what he's saying, Joshua is, he goes, I'm passing the torch. Moses passed it to me. By God, I'm passing it to you. By God. So he's saying, remember. And you notice, be very careful to do one thing. Did you pick up on it in the text? What is the one thing? Talk back Sunday. What was it? Love God. Love God with all your heart. Huh. Remember Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandments? Out of all of them, what did he say? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then you can love your neighbor as yourself. See, God is consistent. And so, as you and I think about that, how do you love God? Today, you'll see in the back of your program, there's four thoughts, four ideas that come out of this text. And can I tell you, they are also quite appropriate for you to know how to love well the people here that you love, that you say you love, that in your heart you know you ought to love children. To love your parents, there's some good ideas here. Parents, to love your children. Husbands and wives, to love your spouse. Grandparents, to love your children, your grandchildren. People of the body of Christ of Open Arms Church, how to love one another. Some good ideas. Number one, take a look. Staying in love requires discipline, as well as a reminder for ourselves and a reminder to share with others. What's the first thing? Take time to reflect on what God has done and then be thankful. Take time to really ponder, to reflect. What has God done? That's exactly what Joshua does. He's setting him up. He says, it's coming to the end. Gives us an introduction. Some 25 years has passed. Joshua is now quite old. He's 110. And he summons them, the leaders. And he says in those first few verses, verse 3, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all of these nations for your sake. For it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. The battles, the impossibilities that they encountered He says, you remember? It is God who made a promise. God who says, I am for you, I'm not against you. God says, I will see you through. But it's impossible, God. It's hard. Our backs are up against the sea. The land is over there, and we've got children, and we've got cattle, and there's this impasse. It's called the Jordan. And then we went and we saw these high fortified cities and these armies, which were countless in number. How can we do it, God? He says, look to me. I'm making the promise. I will help you. I will fight for you. I will see you through because I am faithful. So in your life and in my life, he says, remember, reflect. Step back. Take time out. We need to do that. You know, a bunch of guys got together 2 weeks ago and we did that. A time out. Ladies, you do that as well. And you know, to do that once a year is fine. But man, maybe once a day is more appropriate to help us to remember to love the Lord. Maybe to remember to love the ones in our midst. Because what's so easy to focus in on what we don't see going well. Or where we see the ones in our lives struggle and being weak. Maybe to fulfill some kind of place or role in their life for our lives. And instead of focusing on what's not happening, focus on the good and the faithful things and the history. And that will warm our hearts. Maybe again. And then we see in verse 4. Well, even before we go there, look at the language there in verse 3. For it is the Lord who has fought for you. That reminds me of chapter 1. If you want to go back a few pages, you're not going to see this up on the wall. But what does he say? God say to Joshua in verse 5. In chapter 1. No one shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause his people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. You know, God said to Joshua, I'm calling you to lead. Men, women, boys and girls, in some facets of your life, you are a leader. You are an influencer in your schools, in your workplace, in your homes, in the community. And God is saying, I will work. I will do things on your behalf. I want to be an aroma. I want my grace, my love, and my mercy to be worked in and through you to be a blessing to others so they might hear about me and they might know me. And so God tells Joshua early on, he says, I know it's going to be impossible for you to do it in your own strength. But not only is it going to be possible, it's going to be done because I am going to be with you and I'm going to lead you in that way. So for the things that God has called you to be and to do, he says, I've got your back. But make sure the way you're working out that responsibility and that influence in your life, the principles come from here, because that's what he says. And he'll say it in a few moments. He goes, I tell you how to do it. You don't have to figure it out yourself. I call you exactly how to live in that realm, whatever it might be. But be careful to follow my instruction. Or what you're going to see is you're going to see your own ingenuity of what those things might look like. And that's why I give you those instructions. But Lord, that doesn't just, it isn't jiving with my mind. He goes, no kidding. But my mind and my wisdom and how it ought to be for you, it's higher than yours. That's where I want you to have faith in me. I want you to trust me in this relationship. That's the advantage you and I have today. So behold, I have allotted to you an inheritance for your tribes and those nations that remain, along with all the nations I've already cut off from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. So God used Joshua's leadership and he says to them, God will use you. The Lord your God will push them back before you. He will drive them out of your sight. And you shall possess their land, just as the Lord your God promised you. You remember Paul writing to the church at Philippi in chapter 1, verse 6? What does he say to them? He reminds them, hey, folks, the work that God began in you, he will complete it. He will complete it until that day of Christ Jesus. If you're here today and you've experienced a new birth, born of God's Spirit, you can look at that season and you can look at the Word of God and you say, here's what He wants to do. He wants to conform into the image of Christ. Oh my, I look and I'm going, oh Lord, I'm so far from that. But He says, stop, wait a minute. How far have you come? How far and how deep is the work? There's been change, hasn't there? So He says, I'm trying to encourage you. I will continue to bring about the change. I will continue to bring about the conformity to the image of Christ. The carrot out there, He says, so keep looking to me. Keep trusting me. I will do it. That's my promise. People will say to me, John, I want to know what God's purpose is for my life. I go, look at Romans chapter 8. It's right there. For those whom God foreknew, those whom God called, those whom God chose, He predestined for one thing, to conform to the image of His Son. So as you and I are then embracing our responsibilities in the classroom, in the workplace, in our homes, and all of those things, He goes, the number one thing I'm doing in all of that is making you look more like Jesus. And that takes trial. It takes joyful celebration times. He goes, I'll use everything in your life. I will allow certain things in your life in order for you to look more and more like my Son in this world. Because I'm drawing people to myself, and you are my ambassador. You are my agent to communicate the gospel. Just like Joshua was God's agent and leader to bring about God's promises to His people. He says, I've got a promise. I desire people to be with me, to be in relationship with me, to experience forgiveness, mercy, and grace. And they don't get it. They think I'm after them with the big stick. I'm not. I'm offering them freedom. I'm offering them peace with me that was paid for and acquired by my very Son who went to a cross and gave His life. And you are my agents. And as you are looking more and more like Christ, sounding more and more like Christ, people will be drawn. That will be attractive. They'll yell at you. They'll accuse you. But there will be a remnant. There will be people on a particular day and a particular influence in your life. And in that moment, they'll go, maybe the God that you know, the Jesus that you love and walk with in humility and with grace, as you treat me, can help me. So let's remember and reflect on what God has done. Many of you, if not all of you, have been in one of our Discovering Open Arms workshops, right? Hope so. Some of you were in it just a few weeks ago. And page 2, we have a history, a reflection, milestones of what God has done in His. And every year, 4 times a year, I get to reflect on this. Look at this. So I'm remembering and I exhale. I'm relaxed because I go, look what God has done. Man hasn't done this. God has done this. You know what else I have to do? I have to take off things every year because my OCD, I want to keep it one page. And so I've got to take things off. And I go, no, I don't want to take that off. I minimize the font to keep more things on. And so it's just exciting. Look what God has done. How about in our own personal lives? Some of you journal. That's phenomenal. That's one discipline I'm so poor at. My wife journals for the both of us, for all of you. She journals ferociously. It's a good thing. She can go back and she looks at how God has answered prayer, how God has worked in her life. God is saying to you and I, you want to stay in love with me? Reflect, remember who I am to you, what I have done for you, how I have fought for you, how I have stood in the gap for you, what I've brought you through. Number 2, cling to the Lord and experience supernatural protection and power. Cling to the Lord and you and I will experience His supernatural protection and power. You know, we just switched from Time Warner to Spectrum It had to happen at some point, I guess. You know, I've gotten 42,000 letters, you know, do it, best, good deal, this and that kind of thing. But what that did, we've always had standard basic television, which was, I don't know, 21 channels. And now I have 121 channels. I made the mistake of scrolling. Do you know half of those channels are repeats of channels that are in the single digit, double digits? I'm like, oh, come on, really? But there was some movie channel, and I watched Superman earlier this week. 4 or 5 years ago, I guess it came out in the theater. And you know, there were some times where Superman was taken off and Lois Lane was there. And they were in danger. She needed protection. And they needed to get out of there. And he said, Lois, hang on. How many hands did she hold on with? You bet, two. Oh, wait a minute. I need my laptop. I'm a reporter. Well, good luck with that, Lois. I need my, you know, a change of clothes. Grasping, clinging with two hands. Because her safety was dependent on it. God's saying, cling to me. Cleave to me. Hold on to me. Press into me and see my protection. See my deliverance. The arrows will fly. The words that are mean-spirited will come. The actions against you will just smack you straight in the face. But when you're clinging to me, I am able to do my whatever this is. Ward off all that stuff. He says, I'm God. And that's the picture he's giving to Israel. Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left. That sounds familiar, right? What did God say to Joshua 30 years earlier? In chapter 1, in those first few verses of 7 and 8, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all of the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And Joshua is saying, men and women, boys and girls, leaders, families, God told me to do this early on because I didn't have a clue. I was scared to death. I was trembling. I saw Moses. I watched Moses. He did some good things. And you know what? When he followed God, it went well. When he stepped out and acted emotionally, it did not go well. He wasn't even able to enter into the promised land because he took matters into his own hands. He's saying to the leaders, there is no plan B. God has it written. God has insight. He has wisdom. So take and look, meditate and chew on what he has said, and it will go well with you. There is no plan B. There's times that it happens historically as God has built up our church and we now have four shepherds that people will come and ask a pastor something, and then they'll go and ask another pastor the same question and another the same question. Sometimes they're following the counsel of God that says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. But sometimes they're looking and hoping for a plan B answer. I'm going to ask this one. Oh, I don't like that one. How about you? And how about you? You know, I think we all have that kind of thing in our heart at times. Oh, I'm not liking that. Maybe they'll have a different answer. So both can happen. Both can happen in our own hearts. Both can happen in my heart. And God is saying to us, cling to me. And a good sign of whether we're clinging to him is listening to him. He wants to whisper something in your ear and in your heart. You must cling to him to get that close. And that is his word. Drawing close to say, oh, I cling to God. And we're not in his word. He says, you're not clinging to me. If you're not chewing and meditating, this is your food. Jesus said, this man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He says, this is how you grow and you know me and you understand my heart and you're able to, you know, see what I have for you. So that clinging, it includes spending that time. Verse 7. That you may not mix with these nations, remaining among you or make mention of the names of their gods or swear by them or serve them or bow down to them. But you shall cling to the Lord your God just as you have done to this day. He's saying you're doing it well. Keep it up. Don't let go. Paul speaks to the church at Corinth, and you'll see here, oh, I'm going to read it, and it will come up on the wall, some scriptures from 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. What does he say? It's a challenge for you and I today, because the same principle is ours today that Joshua spoke to the people of Israel. Notice what he says. Do not be deceived. In other words, we trick ourselves with our alignments. In some of the things we get close to or that we don't release, we trick ourselves. Well, God would want me to stay close here or be involved in that or continue and maintain that as a real close friendship. We trick ourselves. And he says over and over, come to your senses. What's happening as you stay involved, as you stay close? What's happening? Good in your heart? Strength and holiness in your heart? Or are you being sucked in? Are you stumbling and falling? He said, I need you to understand something. You have a new nature. My spirit is in you. You have instruction, a new way to live. You want that. You're running towards that. But you know what you also have? You have your old flesh, that old nature. You have my spirit in you. You have a new nature. But that old nature, it whispers. It still craves. You've got to crucify that every day. And if your best buds, if your girlfriends, if the associations and the places you go and the things that you do, if that's of the old, those things will scream and rage. You'll say, remember, remember, remember. Take a dip. Take a taste. Come on. Laugh. Go. He's saying, step back. Step back. And then he says this, and don't you dare ever marry somebody who's not strong in the faith. He's saying, don't do it. He says it then, and he says it now. And if you're saying, well, John, I came to faith after I was already married, so that means, should I get out? Absolutely not. No way, no how. It's not in the scripture. God says, so in you, I will work. In you, if you will cling to me, I will make you a light. I will bring a certain sanctification to that home. For your spouse who may not be a believer, for your children who are not believers yet, there's an opportunity for them because you are. And when you bear into me, cling to me, I will conform you to the image of who? Jesus. And that's a hope for them. Not a guarantee, because every single person has that opportunity to hear from him and respond to him, to hear from him and not respond to him, and just be rebellious to the call. Notice what Paul says. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. So as a believer, your intent is what? To love Jesus, to live well. And he's saying, don't kid yourself. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor. He's not saying all of you are getting drunk. He's saying, you know what it's like when you're drunk? You're in a stupor. You don't think straight. You don't talk straight. You don't act straight. You're in a stupor. You're in a fog. You can barely, you know, walk down the street. He's saying, wake up from that. As is right. And do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. That comes from the word that means they have no true experience with God. They might say they do, but you watch the fruit of their life. Who are they kidding? They have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. He's saying, I was your church. I'm the guy who spoke to you about Jesus. stop kidding yourself. And he goes on to say to the church in 2 Corinthians 6, don't be yoked together. In other words, don't be teamed up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and Belial? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. I've already told you that doesn't mean in your home and in your marriage. The great majority of folks in this church today, one, because we would call ourselves a first generation church, many came to Christ as adults. Six or almost seven out of ten of you. And your spouse, if you were married, wasn't. But what's happened over the time? Some of them have. Some of them not yet, but some of them have. And it was through the work God did in your life. Some of your children have come to Christ. So he's saying, no, it's all those other alliances. He's saying, be careful. Be careful. Still love them. Have a relationship with them, but don't be yoked together. Don't team up. Because all of a sudden, God says, the way I think, the way I look at activities and finances and purpose and vision is quite different than the fleshly person who's very self-focused, self-protectant. God says, I want you to be other-focused. I want you to be focused on me. I want you to take risks to make a difference in this world. And he says, and to do those with my principles, you need to be careful in those alignments. And he's telling Joshua, the nation Israel, thousands and thousands of years ago, and God is telling you and I today. Verse 9, for the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations, and as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you puts to flight a thousand, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he promised. Where are you battling today? Where? In your heart, in your emotions, in desires, vision and purpose, where you just see a conflict and you see some of those alignments and your hearts are still drawn to things that don't honor God. He's saying, will you stop fighting yourself and your own strength? Will you commit those things to me? And follow what I say. And watch me fight for you. Watch my favor come into your life. Number 3. Now here's the deal. And the guys who were with us a couple of weeks ago at the Advance Hill remember this. Here's what happens. It happens to me. I'm sure it happens to you. You know, Christ, I picture him. The scripture speaks about him being Lord and Savior. Savior from my sin. Lord, leader, guide, director, in charge of my life. He's in a throne, if you will, in my heart, the temple. Spirit of God lives there. You know what I do at times? I do some house shuffling. And I take the throne and I put it in a closet and I set out a love seat. Be comfortable, Jesus. Next to whatever idol, whatever passion, whatever desire, whatever thing that I have just put before Jesus, before God in my life. And I'm thinking it's going to go well. I'm thinking he's saying, awesome. I love this little idol. I'm glad you put him or her or it before me. He's not. You know what he does? Shuts down. We quench him. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He says, that's the way you want it? Have at it. I'm a jealous God. I ought to be. I gave my life for you to have a new life and to have the permanence of heaven and to have hope in the midst of trouble and trial that you will have on this earth. And you're sharing me with something else. He's saying, look, you have responsibility. You have relationships. And in that, you ought to be a caretaker and a yielder and a sacrificer, but not at the expense of putting me first. Putting me first. And if you don't, if you don't cling to me and you try to cling to one of these things and hold on to me and hold on to that, it never, ever works. You will dry up like a branch on the vine. So he says in verse 11, be careful or cling to fleshly desires and you will experience consequences, heartache. So be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. You know, he's always wanted that. He's always wanted a loving relationship with those whom he created. You go back to the first man and to the first woman. Fellowship with them. He walked amongst them. He spoke with them. We can't even fathom that. What does that look like? But it happened. And he was not enough. Enjoying him, listening to him, precisely what he said. No, they cut, they divided, they twisted, and they had help in twisting what he said. Because in their heart, he wasn't enough to be given first place. And he's always wanted relationship. And that's why he chose a nothing people who were not impressive at all. Israel. And said, I will be your God. I choose you. I want us to have a relationship. And we know what happens there. And then he chooses you and me, the body of Christ, his church of which he is head. For what? Relationship. Love in that relationship. So he says, be careful, therefore, to love your God. For if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you, and you make marriages with them so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good ground that the Lord your God has given you. Notice, God is not invoking a curse on them. He's not at all. He's simply saying, I'm going to take a step back. I'm not going to fight for you anymore. I'm not going to deliver you anymore. By your heart alignments, you've pretty much said, I'll handle life. I'll handle the abundant life. I'll handle this good ground there. I'll take care of things myself. Thank you for the pass. Thank you for the entry. I'm going to take over from here. And he says, okay, I don't want you to, but okay. And notice, those very things that Israel, those very things that we think we can't live without, or we'd be so disappointed if it didn't happen, become what? Thorns in the eye, snares, traps in our life and our heart. They begin to own us. And he says, be careful of that. Paul would write to those in the church in Galatia in verse chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. What does he say? Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. He's saying it's the principle of sowing and reaping. He says, and you can deflect all you want, but the truth is, what you sow in your heart eventually comes out in the fruit of your life. God says, I've established that principle. He goes, that's my principle of physics. And he says, and it continues today. So he says, so be careful. Cling to me. Remember and reflect. It'll warm your heart. You'll let go of those other entanglements. And if not, You'll be feeling like you're out there alone. And what you're really missing is my favor and my grace in your life because you've clung to those other things. And then finally, you and I need to understand this, believer. Eternal life is not conditional. It's a covenant from God. It's a promise from God. It's yours. It's mine. If you're in Christ, it's yours. He acquired it. He paid for it. It's His power that keeps it for you and I. It's not us staying in love with God. It's not. But you know what is conditional? The abundant life. The life of experiencing that peace, walking in joy, confidence in I'm making the right decision. That peace at the end of the night saying, this was a tough day, but the character of Christ, He's rising up in my life. Not worry, not anxiety, not fear. Why? Because He battles those things in our heart. He says, why? Because I'm near. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. And in the trouble and in the trial, I'll get you through because I've overcome the world, the troubles and the trials. Nothing is going to hit you that hasn't hit me worse. And I'm God. And I've sealed you. And I will never leave you. But when you quench me by clinging on to these other things and wanting and desiring other things other than me to be number one in your life, you're going to be living the Christian life in your own strength, in your own wisdom. And where does that lead you? It leads you to lacking the abundant life that He says He offers to us. But you will have eternal life. I will take you home to heaven. That's my promise to you. Because I am a covenant-keeping God. That's not conditional. But enjoying this life. And that doesn't mean everything that occurs in this life is joyful. But He says you'll see it with a different perspective. Because I will show you things that your own emotions can't show you. And I will help you see and comprehend. And my word will remind you of those things. So He closes by saying, and now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. It's a metaphor for death. He knew He was dying. And you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. But just as all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord will bring about all the evil things until He has destroyed you from off this good land that the Lord your God has given you. If, that's the condition, if you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which He commanded you, and you go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land that He has given to you. And when you and I continue to read, you and I flip over to the book of Judges. It was just a few years after Joshua's death that they stopped clinging. They stopped remembering. And it was just a short period of time after that, or a couple of generations, that they were invaded and they lost their land. God's, you know, He's given us instruction. Where's children? You know, I love you. I have a plan for you. It's good. Seek me with all your heart. Put me first. Listen to me. Obey and follow what I say. And it will go well for you in the storm and in the flood. But if you don't, you'll drown. It's physics. I am the lifeboat. I am the way. I am your helper. Let's close with these words from Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 10 and 14. Just a few verses as you and I reflect on how to be careful to love God, put Him first, and let everything else come out under His guidance on how to love those others, desires, passions, careers, things in their proper perspective. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He goes, I give you freedom. I'm the shepherd. You're my sheep. And joy. Because I'm trusting you will let me be your good shepherd. You'll listen. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have it life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So you and I want proof that God loves you and I. How much more can I prove it? While you were yet still a sinner, I died for you. And now you get it. And here we are, verse 29 of chapter 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice. That word here means responds to. I'm a shepherd of sorts in my own home. I have two little sheep, not so little anymore. I'll call them. Yes, Dad. I might have called them. Come here. Did you hear me? Yes. But they're not coming. There's a difference between hearing the words that are coming out of my mouth and responding to those words. And that's what he's saying. My sheep respond to my words. Why? Because they trust him. He's the good shepherd. How do I know? He gave me life. Eternal life. Abundant life. I know them. That's personal. And they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish until they do some sin that, you know, I'm just really ticked off at. Is that what it says? You're supposed to be picking up stones right now and stoning me. No. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. That's covenant. That's not conditional. No one will be able to snatch them out of my hand. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That word keep means you will guide your life. You will guard your life. You will guard your heart by my commandments. This is Jesus speaking. This is his teaching, what he has to say, the word who became flesh. You will guide, you will keep my commandments. And Jesus answered them in John 14, 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Many of us will say, I love you, Jesus. And he gives clear instruction about our alignments, about our hearts and our attitudes and our practices. And we know it. And yet we still choose and we still cling to. And yet we'll still sing a song and we'll still say with our mouths, I love you, Lord. And he says, I'm not feeling it. Because I'm looking at your heart and out of that heart is coming these desires. You can say that. But you and I know you love that more. Why would you love that more? That will be a snare to you, trouble for you, a thorn that rips open your eye. And I love you to spare you from that. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my word. That relationship. Jesus is talking about a relationship. Your life will be a home for us. We will enjoy dwelling and living in every room in the home. We will feel confident opening up every closet, looking under the bed, because we will be comfortable. Why? Because you're perfect? No. But because you've invited us and we're comfortable and we're watching you and seeing your heart, we're helping you clean every day. Every day we're helping you clean. And there's some big stuff that you can't handle, child. And that's why you've got my power. And that's why you have my strength. And I will come in and I will clean. because we're in relationship. And I see it because I see your earnestness in guiding your life by my instruction as your Lord, as your Savior, and as your Heavenly Father. And that's where He wants us. So let us be careful, Open Arms Church. Be careful to love God first. And remember and reflect on His faithfulness. And we will do well in the journey. Father, I thank You that we can look at a text that is alive and living and speaks to us today, thousands of years, and even had its direct context with Israel. We can see timeless principles for us, Your children today, whom You chose out of darkness and You've brought into light, who were dead spiritually, and You've given us new birth, Your very Spirit in us. Thank You for the measure of faith to believe that those who receive Christ, who believe on His name, You give the right to become Your children. And there's nothing, there's no birth on this earth that compares with that. You do it. And You seal us. Thank You for never leaving us. Thank You for Your Spirit that's our guide, our comforter, our teacher, our convictor, and our helper. We need You today. And as we reflect on Your goodness and Your faithfulness, that will warm our heart. And if there's any idol, if there's anything sitting on a love seat next to Jesus in our hearts, we will call out to You. Lord, fling it. It has a hold on me. Remove it. You fight for me, God. I desire. I yield. Wrench it out of my heart. I can't. I'm too weak. Oh, and You will do it. But You're waiting for that. You're asking us, will we? Are we willing? Yes. And then Jesus will take that throne out of the closet. And we'll say, yes. Lead again, O King. O Lord, O Savior, O lover of my life, thank You for the reminder today. In Jesus' name.